This morning, our gospel lesson is going to come from John chapter 12. We're reading verses 20 through 33. That's John 12, 20 through 33. And I invite you to stand as you're able, in body or in spirit, for our gospel reading. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some of the Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it's for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now this is the judgment of the world. The ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death that he was to die. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I love to tinker and fix things. I think I get it from my daddy. My daddy loves to piddle. With my mom's recent passing, everybody's asked, "Well, how's your daddy doing?" If my daddy has some woods and some leaves to burn, he'll be just fine. He's always loved to just piddle outside. Being outside, piddling around is all my daddy has ever liked to do. And he just would tinker on stuff. And I'll never forget one day, he decided he did not like the seat of his tractor. He just didn't like it. If you ever ridden on a tractor seat, you know tractor seats are not by nature comfortable. It's not like a bike seat. So my dad did not like his tractor seat. So he went, and I guess to the junkyard or somewhere, and found an old boat. And took the boat seat off that boat and attached that boat seat to his tractor. So when I came home, I saw my daddy just putting around in his 1970s tractor with a boat seat attached to it. That's what he liked to do. He liked to tinker and fix things. And I like to do that as well. Now, I am not gifted like my daddy. I am not, what's the word, useful? You know, I don't have any useful skills. I'm just a preacher. You know, there's a great, I don't know if any of y'all know the comedian Nate Bargatze. He's really funny. He has a great routine where he says, it's really difficult when your wife is the husband of your marriage. That's kind of me and Holly. If something needs to be fixed in the house, she's going to be the one fixing it. Like, she's going to be out there working on the fence. You know, that's her, you know. And so I don't have useful skills. I'm just a preacher. And so my tinkering is more philosophical and more systems related. I like to make things better. I like to go into churches and make things healthier and make things better. I like to help relationships get healthier and get better. That's something I enjoy doing. I find joy in helping systems and things get better. That's one of the reasons why I like to preach. I mean, one of the questions we ask as preachers, one of the questions people ask as laity is, can Jesus fix it? I'll never forget, I heard a preacher say one time, people don't come to church wanting to understand the Greek in the language of Timothy. They want to know, my marriage is broken. Can Jesus fix it? My family is in trouble. Can Jesus fix it? That's the question we come into church with so often is this. I have this brokenness in my life. Can Jesus fix it? And I believe he can. Let me be very clear. I think there are very few things in life that Jesus cannot fix and that Jesus cannot make better. One of the better sermons I ever heard in my life talked about how the job of a disciple is to find any situation and make it better. Disciples, when we leave a place, the place should be better because we were there. Jesus makes things better. Jesus fixes things. So Jesus can fix the brokenness in our life. But there's a problem with that. are challenged with that. It's not necessarily the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel says if you're a Christian, you're going to get rich and famous. It's not that. But what happens is this. We all believe Jesus can fix it. So what happens is there's a whole bunch of sermons and books and podcasts. 3 easy steps to fixing your marriage. 7 easy steps to financial independence. 4 easy steps to a healthier career. You know, we've seen those, haven't we? You know, they're all over. They're everywhere. And, you know, it's always 4 or 3 or 7. You know, some very doable number. There's never 47 excruciatingly painful steps to fixing your marriage. You know? There's never 32 steps to financial health. Because, by the way, you're not buying that book. Like, nobody's going to buy that book. Nobody's going to pay $500 to go to that leadership seminar. It's not going to sell. Like, it's just not. Nobody's subscribing to that podcast. It's just not going to happen. So, by the way, Jesus would have been a really bad church leadership expert. Like, he'd have been terrible. Nobody would have went to his seminars. It would have been awful. Because let's look at what Jesus does today. These folks go to Jesus. They're like, they go to Philip, and there were some who came to Philip and said, we want to see Jesus. So he goes to Andrew. They take him to Jesus. So he's got these new people coming to his church. It's great. Church growth. Awesome. And Jesus says this. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Awesome. Who doesn't like that? Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Huh. It's a little harder than 3 easy steps to financial wealth. Those who love their life must lose it. Lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus obviously has not been to the right seminars, has he? He has not listened to the right podcast because he doesn't quite get how to portray the message in a way. In Lent, we've talked about what we wrestled against. The darkness, the culture, our pride, things like that. We talked about our things we wrestle against. Today we wrestle against our greatest temptation. To make our life about us. To make our life about us. Jesus actually tells us the path to a better marriage, better friendships, better parenting, better financial health. He tells us the steps. You have to die to yourself. You have to die to yourself. You can't fill that hole in your heart with you and with your stuff. That will never fill it. That will never fill the hole in your heart. It simply can't. C.S. Lewis once said, all of life is a quest for something other than God that will give us joy. And we want so many things other than God to give us joy and to give us meaning. And you know one of the great tricks the devil plays on us? He wants to take the good and make it God. Oh, boy, he loves doing that, y'all. He loves to take the good in our life and try to convince us that the good is God. So our career, which is good, becomes God. Our reputation, which is good, becomes God. Our children, which are good, become God, or our grandchildren, or whatever. And so we take these things that in and of themselves are not bad, but in fact, they're actually good, and then we make them our God. And what happens is time after time after time, they can't truly fill that hole in our heart. No amount of praise from others can fill the hole in our heart. No amount of financial success can fill the hole in our heart. No amount of any of these victories can fill our heart. Only Jesus can truly fill the hole in our heart, but we can't truly know him as Lord until we do what he says here, which is that we have to die to self. He says something that sounds harsh. You have to hate your life. And, you know, Jesus likes to mess with us. He says some hard things in the Bible, y'all. You know, we get this impression of Jesus that he's just our spiritual genie in heaven. And we ask him for stuff, and he gives us stuff. And that's not really the way it works. Because here he says, you have to die to self. You have to hate your life. My hate, Jesus doesn't mean hate like we think of it in the American sense. But it means hate in that we can't put our stuff first. We have to lay down our life to follow his life. And see, I think this is where the rubber hits the road for us as Christians sometimes. Because we want to do the three easy steps and the seven easy concepts and the four easy whatevers. And we do those things. And we're still not happy. We do those things and marriage is still hard. And raising kids is still hard. And getting along with others is still hard. And even though we've done the seven easy steps and we upgraded to the premier membership, it's still hard. Because that's not the step to happiness, y'all. The only step that Jesus gives us to happiness is the step to die to ourselves. Because when we die to ourselves, we find something truly worth having. Something truly beautiful, something truly good, something truly holy, something truly life-giving, something truly sustaining, something that truly comes from beyond ourselves, but something beautiful. A God who loves us completely, not because of our status or our victories or our zip code or any of those things, but he loves us because he made us, he delights in us, and he gave his son for us. He desires to know you, to save you, to heal you, to restore you, and to use you for his good. You are not just some name on some divine checkerboard. You are God's beloved, who he gave his son for, who he delights in, and who he loves. And that love that he gives is so much more filling than anything the world tries to peddle off as false gold. You know how I've told the story before, so we may remember it. You know how they catch a monkey in South America? What they do is they get a hollow log. And this hollow log will have a hole in it. And they'll put at the bottom of this hole a treat. And the hole will be just big enough for the monkey to stick his paw down in it. He can come in and out of the hole, no problem. But when the monkey grabs the treat, he can't get his paw out. Like the balled up fist of the monkey is not quite big enough to get out of the hole. And there he is. He's got a treat. He got the treat. He's got everything he wanted. He's got it all. He's got it all. And he's going to hold on to it to his own death. If he just let it go, whoop, now he goes. Freedom in life. But he refuses to let go of it because he thinks that treat's what he really wants. And that treat's going to end up in his destruction. What we want is something this world can't give us. We want meaning and purpose and community. We want agape love. We want to be known that we matter. We want to be known that we have purpose. And y'all, we're never going to find that in three easy steps to whatever. It's not possible. And that's our great temptation. Our great temptation is to make ourselves the Lord of our own life. and to live only for what we want, and to live only for our purpose, and to live only for us. That is our great temptation, is to make it all about us. And what does Jesus tell us? That's not life. That's fleeting. That's temporary. That will give you momentary rushes of dopamine, momentary rushes of joy that will fade. Those who hate their life, in other words, lay down their life for something better, will find it. But those who cling to making our life only about us, we'll get that dopamine rush. We'll get those Instagram likes. But we won't truly live. Y'all, you were made for something beautiful. You were made for something divine. You were made for something holy. You were made for something more than just the image of a face. But you were made for a deep relationship with a loving God who desires to know you, save you, and grow with you. That's our purpose. That's what we're here for. Our great temptation is to ignore that and to make ourselves God of our life. That's our temptation. Today Jesus tells us, that's not the way. That's not the way. That's not the way. When we die to ourselves, as hard as that can be, then we truly live. Jesus gives us that choice today. We can give into the temptation of making it all about us and our stuff, or we can lay down our life at the foot of the cross and find life. One looks tempting, but doesn't give life. One looks painful, but results in true life. Today, friends, he has given us the choice and given us the option. May we choose to resist the great temptation to make our life all about us. May we choose to die to self and live to Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.